Well, it's been a full service, hasn't it? Who's ready for lunch? And here I thought I was going to preach for 3/4 of an hour yet. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's the way it is. Didn't you enjoy that choir? Haven't heard that chaff in me a gut for 40 years. How about that? Anyway, Kelly and LaDawn, thank you for sharing with us your experiences. We've been talking about a healthy church and what are the characteristics of a healthy church. I think you saw some of the characteristics of a healthy church over there. And we need those characteristics here too. And as we talk about a healthy church, I'm reminded of Friday night. I don't know how many of you chanced to come out, but we had a cleanup here at the church on Friday night. And to me, it was a sign of a healthy church because I saw these little kids running around, and then there were the teenagers that were trying to rake, and then there were the youth and the middlers who were, they were around. And then there were even Maggie and I and people like us, you know, and we're the older set. Daniel, if you think the older set, I mean, there's a lot of us out there. And we're still involved, and I like to see that. We had talked about a healthy church not looking like this. I mean, that's a little, there's the square wheels where they shouldn't be, there's the round wheels where they shouldn't be, and there's the leaders pulling this thing. And that reminds me of the church sometimes, you know. We put the round wheels are all resting. They're sitting in the church and enjoying everything while the square wheels are trying to get this thing mobile, and it doesn't quite work that way. And so we had talked about one of the first characteristics of a healthy church being empowering leadership. And as I thought about empowering leadership, not empowered leadership, but empowering, I was thinking of Friday. I'm not sure who was in charge out there. Where's Jake? Was he in charge out there on Friday night? Anyway, there was an incredible job happening with empowered leadership. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. Those of us that were working, that is. There were those that were holding up trees and holding up telephone poles. It's amazing to me. Did you notice the new fence out there on the south side? That all happened in a matter of hours. All the leaves and everything were raked and everything was cleaned up. It was gorgeous. And it was because there were people who had planned it ahead of time. The tools were all there. Everything was planned ahead of time. And all the people that came to work were given jobs. And then we had a wiener roast. And you know, that to me, that was a sign of a healthy church. All the age groups functioning together with good leadership. You get that kind of stuff in a church, and you're going to have a relatively healthy church. But if it looks like this, it's going to be a little bit of an embarrassment. Reminds me of when I was trying to find a wife. And this was my first wife. Oh, that sounds bad to you people. I know that. But anyway, I happened to have a convertible back then. Can you believe it? Young people, I drove a convertible. First one in the church. My dad was a pastor. Woo! There was trouble. Anyway, a nice robin egg blue with a white top. And so my girlfriend, Helen, lived about 2 hours away. And so I went there on a Sunday afternoon because I couldn't visit her that often. I went there on a Sunday afternoon, and the people were all down at the causeway. My present wife, Maggie, knows exactly what I'm talking about. A restaurant right on the beach of Lake Erie, and so the young people would gather there, and then in the afternoon, Sunday, they'd go swimming or whatever. So I pulled in there with my convertible, and all these young people were watching Helen walk out and come to the car, and they were all jealous and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, smart alecky me, I popped into the car, and she got in. I opened the door for her, believe it, I did. And I needed to turn around, so guess what I did? I thought I'd be smart, and I turned around on the beach. You guessed it, didn't you? I got stuck. And so here we are, you know, trying to be a somebody, and boom, the Lord knows exactly how to bring you down, let me tell you. And I felt a little bit like that wagon up there. And so all these young people come running out of there, and they're laughing their heads off. But they did push us out. You know what reminds me of these two guys? They're trying to push this thing. And I was so embarrassed. And as we try and do church like this, often the people around begin to laugh at us and say, what's wrong with those guys? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do church. So we talked about empowering leadership and doing church the way would make it to become healthy. There's empowering leadership. So today, instead of preaching for 3/4 of an hour, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you point number 2, and then we're going to go for lunch. Fair enough? Is that okay? Now, my point number 2 takes an hour. Are you okay with that? The second quality that is a good one, I think, is gift-oriented ministry. There it is, point number 2. And we read the passage already out of Romans, and I want to just remind you again of what it says in Romans chapter 12. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you get that? Each member belongs to all the others. Listen, people, you and I were created by a living God. Any gifting that you or I have has been given to us by God. You agree with that? And so who are we to walk around in the church and say, I'm better than you. I have a better gift than you. Your gift may be different, but that doesn't make it better. And we just heard in here that any giftedness that you or I have is there for the total body. It's not there. Whoops. It's not there for just you and me. It's not there for my betterment. It's not there for me to say, ha-ha, look what I have. God, you're such a lucky God. You've got me here. Just imagine. We just read what the Bible said, that our giftedness is there for the whole body. And so the question is, as we look at number 2, how does this work? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these all have the same function, it's there for the total body. And so today, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about what that... You know, this thing keeps falling down, doesn't it? That means that I don't need to watch the time. How about that? How do we work with giftedness? Discerning giftedness. So often we talk about what is your spiritual gift. And there are so many people in the world that don't have a clue about spiritual gifts. The question is to discern it. I'd like to suggest it's very simple to begin with. And here it is. God created you. God gave each one, the Bible says, each one he gave a gift. At least one. And to many people, he gave more than one. Now, the thing is, if you and I look at our spiritual gifts, all we have to do is take the gift that God has given us and give it back to him and use it in his name, and it becomes a spiritual gift. And so often we're looking for that elusive spiritual gift, and we can't find it. God has gifted you, either maybe he's gifted you with prayer, maybe he's gifted you with music, maybe he's gifted you with being an encourager, maybe he's gifted you with helping others. What are the gifts? Maybe he's gifted you with teaching. What are the gifts he's given you that are very natural? Take those and give them back to God. And you've already started finding your spiritual gift. Rather than looking through the Bible and looking through the Bible, okay, now where do I find spiritual gifts? It's not a mystic thing, people. It can be a very natural thing. But you need to give it over to the Lord and use it for his glory wherever he puts you. And then that becomes a giftedness. So what is your natural giftedness? And look at it. Secondly, what do you have a heart for? What's in your heart? What's the desire of your heart? God says in the Bible, we're to give him the desires of our heart. So as we look at spiritual gifts, one way to look at it is, what do I have a desire for? Now, you know what? I have a friend who had a desire to own a motorcycle. And he wanted a Harley. And he just loved going around with that thing. And you say to yourself, okay, what kind of a spiritual gift can that be? You know what his ministry has turned out being? He didn't join a motorcycle, a Hell's Angel gang, but he did join a different gang who go to wherever there are groups of motorcyclists, and then they'll try to ride with them and witness. So you say, wanting a motorcycle is not a spiritual gift. Yes, it can be. It can be, depending on what you're going to do with it. And so look at what your heart desires and what that is. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I use what my heart desires for you? Where does this have an entry into your kingdom? The third one, what about the ability to do something? Do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to run the PA? Do you want to be an usher? What are those kinds of things that the heart desires? But then the question is, do I have the ability to do it? Because sometimes our heart desires something that God has not gifted us in. But it looks like a big thing. You know, we often want to be important, don't we? We want to be important people. We want to be the chairman of the board. We want to be the preacher. We want to be the key musician. We want to be the choir conductor. By the way, good job conducting a choir. We want to be those things, but we don't realize the incredible responsibilities and accountability that goes with those things. You see, if I want to be the chairman of a board or the CEO of a big company, and I have no administration skills whatsoever, what's the point in being there? And so often we strive, or our heart wants to go in certain areas, but we don't have the gifting. So we need to put those two together and decide whether we can carry that load. Then, by the way, you've noticed already that the word spells shape, doesn't it? We come to the P. What's your personality? Is your personality the kind that's going to communicate and relate to people? Then that's the kind of place you should be. There are far too many teachers, and I used to be one, far too many teachers who want to be teachers simply because it's an easy job, they think, and they want to have control over people, they think. But if you don't have that ability to communicate with students and to relate to students and to be able to motivate them, then what's the point in trying to be a teacher? And the same applies to the church. Sometimes we want those positions, but we haven't been given the personality for those particular positions. And remember, I said a long time ago, we try and put a square peg in a round hole, and it doesn't fit. But we keep pushing and pushing and pushing till it goes in. But I'll tell you, there are some guys that can do that. I watched them put up that fence there on Friday night. They had this auger which created a round hole, and then they took the square pegs and they put them in the round hole. I guess if your round hole is big enough, you can put a square peg in it. But you see, we're not looking for that when we talk about gifting. And then the last one, what are the experiences of life? What have your experiences directed your abilities towards? I'll give a personal testimony. I started off when I was young. I was raised on a farm. Fruit farm. That was fine for a while. Till I got tired of trying to drive fruit to the place where they accepted it and they would turn me back because there were three plums that weren't quite perfect. You farmers have no idea what a difference it is to be on a fruit farm compared to a grain farm. It's quite a bit more fussy in particular. Then I went through high school and enjoyed music and enjoyed sports and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was a preacher teacher. So when I got past the high school, I decided, okay, I'll go to university and get my degree and become a teacher, which I did. But then as a teacher, what did I teach? I landed up teaching in the areas of my interest, which was great. I taught music and phys ed.
Oh, what a soft touch, eh? Oh, music and phys ed.
You have no idea. You try and teach music to junior hires, guys whose voices are changing, et cetera, et cetera. You try and teach them that. Well, I was lucky. I also taught phys ed. So I taught them music and I taught them phys ed. The lucky thing was I was good at phys ed. And so I made sure any of the guys out there that were giving me trouble in music class, if we played hockey, they'd say, can we scrimmage a bit?
Yep.
Can you play? Yep. Can we check you? Yep. I'd pick the biggest guys in there and pound them into the boards. You know, when they came into my classroom, they were good. They were good. But you know, the personality, people, the personality has to go along, and then the experiences. So I taught school for a number of years, and because I'd studied music, I joined the Messengers, and I traveled all over the world for 7 years. And you know what? The teaching that I had learned became a part of the Messengers ministry, because we had opportunity to go to schools and to minister in schools. Can't do that much anymore, but you could then. Guess what? They always put me in charge. Why? Because I'd been a teacher. I could relate to the students. And then when I left that and went back to seminary and became a pastor, guess what? The teaching stuff, the music stuff, and then the preaching all fit together. And so God directed the experiences that I had towards all of the ministry opportunities. And so personality goes along with that, with our giftedness. And so what happens? When we look at the gifting God has given us, when we look at what we have a heart for, when we look at the abilities that God has put into us, and when we look at our personality, and we look at the experiences God has given us, He begins to shape us. And as God shapes us, He also shapes the church. And so we become a healthy church simply because everybody individually in the church has already been gifted by God. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the sign of a healthy church. And that's the sign where we don't pull all kinds of wagons, but where we simply try to do the ministry that God has given us to do. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me how God can take ordinary people like you and me and do extraordinary things simply because of who He has made us in the first place. Father, You've done a great job. You've created every single one of us. You've made us. You've given us Your Spirit. And then You've pulled us together as a body of believers. And You've called us Your church. And then You've told us as Your church to go into all the world and to teach and to train and to equip and to witness of who You are in our lives. And so, Father, today, I simply want to encourage all of us here to accept from You the gifting that You've given us and then to go into the world and be the shape that You have made us. And Father, this has been very brief, but You know each heart, and You can touch each heart. You can have each of us look at who we are, at what our heart's desire is, at what opportunities are in this church, and what the gifting is that I have that I can give back to You and make this a healthy church. Lord, I pray for this body of believers. Thank you for showing us already. And so may the God of grace, the God of mercy, rest upon each and every one of you. May you, his face shine upon you, and may you grow and mature as you walk with him and give your gift back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.